This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you are joining us today. We are in the middle of a series on God's Word on the podcast this season. And as I've said before, it can seem like a really broad topic, but I'm really excited about our guest today. And one of the ways that we hope to make this very practical for you to apply and include in your daily life. So let me introduce to you our guest, Miss Rachel Wojo. Rachel, how are you today?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me, Katie.
I am so excited for you to be here. And man, I feel a little bit like as I was learning more about you, I feel like I'm kind of talking to an expert here on, on God's Word and on getting it into your daily life. And so for those of you who are meeting Rachel for the first time, let me give you a little more of an introduction, Rachel. But Rachel Wojo is an author, speaker, freelance writer, and blogger. She's also a wife and a mama, a daughter and a sister, a friend, and founder of the website rachelwojo.com. And Rachel's communities have completed more than 35 Bible reading challenges and online Bible studies, as well as enjoyed hundreds of prayers, devotionals, and creative study ideas. And after a decade of online ministry, Rachel's mission remains the same, which is to help women cultivate a personal faith that outlasts life's storms by providing helpful resources and the uplifting inspiration and motivation to use them. And I just love everything about that because, first of all, I love that, Rachel, not only do you focus on providing helpful resources like these Bible reading challenges and online Bible studies, but also the motivation we need to use them, because that's a really big part of this is to, yes, have the resource, but use the resource. And so I'd love to start, Rachel, I know you've been doing this for a long time, but I'd love to hear about how you got into this. What was it that kind of prompted you or motivated you to begin a place where you can provide Bible reading challenges and online Bible studies and prayers and devotionals and the study ideas?
Sure. Thank you. I am a mama to seven. I know that you have several children. I think it's six, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we are both busy mamas. And when it has been over 12 years now, I had a baby belly, one who was due to be born in May, and it was very cold winter like it is right now in Ohio. January 2009, I apologize. I was sitting on the edge of my bed. My husband was working night shift at the time, and he had gone to work, and I had all these littles in the house, you know. Mm-hmm. I already had four in the home who were just busy and full of life. And I'm sitting on the edge of the bed at night, and I was reading in the Bible the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel. God had spoken very clearly to me through that story and through her prayers that I was to share my story and to share what God was doing in my life with others. And I just remember sitting there thinking, are you sure you have the right person, Lord? You know, I'm just a mom. And I know, you know, many of us feel like we're not necessarily qualified spiritually to do these things. And I certainly didn't either. But I knew that the Spirit was speaking to my heart. And so I just started. I just started by beginning to share what I was learning. I knew nothing about blogging. I knew nothing about, you know, how to have an internet ministry of any kind. And God just blessed and opened doors. And gradually we began to really solidify our plans and make sure that we were providing them on a monthly basis. So it has been, wow. I'm pretty sure since 2013, we have provided a Bible reading plan every single month. Some of the time we have repeated a few plans, but I think we have produced over 40 to 45 plans altogether. in the last decade and really just trying to serve people where they are. I love for women to be able to snag a few minutes of quiet time every day and feel like that special time is hers between her and the Lord. And just want to foster that because I know that time really is how we cultivate our faith. And it's how we have the strength to weather the storms of life when they come. And mercy, you and I both know that they come, right? Mm-hmm.
And so I'm interested because you said snag a few minutes. And I feel like so often when we think of our time with God, you know, sometimes we'll call it a quiet time. Like in Christian circles, that's what we call it a lot, our quiet time. And I would say that I, you know, growing up in the church and hearing about this, I just don't often connect quiet time with snag a few minutes with God, right? Like it feels like sometimes it has to be this certain amount of time that's longer than a few minutes in a certain kind of environment that is completely focused and free of distraction, which as I say those things becomes more and more unrealistic in my life with six children and a husband and the blessings of life, right? This idea of, that I just described seems to become more and more unrealistic. And so as you were discussing your Bible reading plans and you made that comment about snag a few minutes with God, I'd love for you, and as we talked, you brought up this idea of setting expectations for your quiet time. So I would love to go there with you and tell at first, where do you even begin with the idea of setting expectations? Because here's what I'm going to say. I think we already have some. We probably have possibly incorrect expectations for our quiet time. So how do we set realistic expectations for our quiet time? Where do we begin?
Well, I think we have to look at our season of life because when people, you're right, they have an idea of what it should look like. And when that ideal standard is not met, they feel defeated, they feel deflated. So January hits and everyone's like, yes, I want to get back into my Bible reading. And then by mid-February, you know, they've already let the disruptions and the distractions prevent them from spending any time with the Lord at all because they got discouraged about that half hour that they had designated that wasn't quite working out the way they thought. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have just learned that you first have to look at the season that you're in when you're setting an expectation. And I'm not even sure that you know, setting expectations is almost a misnomer, if you will, because it really is about understanding that this is a relationship. And, you know, would you say that you set expectations for your spouse or you set expectations for your best friend? No, it's not quite that hard, is it? There are grace edges all the way around surrounding that relationship. And there are margins created and you just work within those margins. So I think the biggest thing that I've learned over the years is that if you look at the season that you're in, then you can first determine, okay, what time is going to be my best time to spend with the Lord? And it is important to try to, you know, isolate a time. I mean, we love our husbands, right? And we adore them so much that we set aside specific time to spend with them that proves our love for them. And so I think spending specific time with the Lord is definitely needed, but we have to give ourselves grace. So when I had tiny infants, you know, which was many, many years, I often had my quiet time when I was nursing during the afternoon nap, you know, because the toddlers, the preschoolers, they were down for nap. I was nursing a baby. And so if I have 15, 20 minutes, I would sit there and pray for people and read my Bible during that time. You know, then as they became preschoolers, I'm not particularly a morning person. I have always tried to be, but you know, it is work for me. And so sometimes in the mornings, there just was not a designated time that 15, 20 minutes that I could slot out. And so I would find time to have quiet time in the evenings after my kids went to bed. Or, you know, as they became school-agers and the bedtime got pushed out later and later, I flip-flopped for a while and began to have my quiet time during noon lunchtime. And so I just think there are seasons where you have to look at that season and say, okay, this is the time that I have. This is what will work. So designated that time. And then I would hope that the other thing I would say about that is, although we're talking about a specific time, I think my relationship with the Lord grew as I began to learn to speak with Him throughout the day, mm-hmm. you know, and just use the everyday things of life to find a way to communicate with the Lord. For instance, when I had all school-agers and they were out the door in the mornings, then I would go through the house to like do a quick tidy up, pick up, you know, see if there was anything that was needed. When I went in each bedroom, by each bed, I would pray for that kid. Mm-hmm. And as I did laundry, I, you know, whoever's clothes I was folding, that's who I prayed for. And you just find everyday ways of integrating time with God throughout your day to the point to where it's like you have a relationship that's a quiet time all the time, you know, mm-hmm. in your heart, there is peace. And I hope that helps someone today.
It's so funny listening to you because I definitely have done all of the seasons. We have a lot in common, Rachel, because I too, and anyone who has listened to this show for any amount of time, knows that I have talked about how I am not a morning person. I'm just not. I always say I'm a learned morning person because I do have to get up to get kids to school and all the things, but I'm not a I'm so glad I'm awake type of a morning person. But anyway, there were a couple of things as you were talking that I thought about. One was this. I mean, I remember being in a season of life that you described with a lot of younger children in the home all of the time. And I remember somebody speaking to this idea of really just the relationship throughout the day. And they were trying to really kind of draw our attention to the fact that God is always present. God is always at work. And the awareness of that and remaining aware of that. And at the time, I was kind of just not having it. And so I'm saying this because I wonder if there isn't a woman listening that's like, oh, how nice that sounds. But that is just not realistic because in that moment, I did. I actually raised my hand in a group of people and I said to the pastor, and it was a small group, so it wasn't like he was in the pulpit preaching, okay? But I said to the pastor who was encouraging us to be aware of God with us and at work at all times and how that would change our days. And I said, so you're telling me that when I am cleaning up a toilet that has overflowed, I should be aware of how active God is. And I think back and I'm like, what was I thinking asking that question? But what was so funny is that after, and you know, he stuck to it, like, yes, you should be aware that God is present even in that moment. But after the fact, there were a few other women who came to me and said, I was thinking the same thing because it seems a little ridiculous. Like, oh, right. Sure, I'm going to worship the Lord as I clean up the overflowed toilet or the, you know, the spill for the 10th time or the sticky syrup that I cannot get off of the counter. It just stays there somehow. And so I want to say that I know, Rachel, you get it. I know you get it. I get it. And for the women, and maybe it's not all of the things with the kids, but maybe it's just that really demanding job that feels like it goes with you everywhere. And so you're driving in the car and your mind is on what is incomplete at work. Or maybe it's a relationship that is kind of, you know, the word I use is it's churning. Like it's just never settled. That feels like it's always with you. It's like that pressure or that demand or that next thing that feels like it makes it really difficult to kind of live a day that is in constant relationship and fellowship with Jesus. And so I don't want you to be listening thinking that we live in some sort of alternate universe where those things don't exist. I know, yeah. Rachel, you understand. I understand. But I don't want us to stop there because, yes, I was the girl that asked the question about the toilet overflowing and focusing on Jesus in the midst of it. But I can tell you that it is worth the practice of continually refocusing on Jesus throughout your day. And I think like I'd love to ask you about that, Rachel, and the setting of the like you said, I hate to use the word expectations, but our approach to our quiet time and the idea of practice, because I also think that's a word that we don't often connect. So can you speak to that and what, and maybe there's a better word than practice, but what does it look like?
Yeah. I think people nowadays prefer not to use the word spiritual discipline because the word discipline has a negative connotation, but we don't think of physical discipline as a bad thing. We all know we need to exercise, so we do it. You know, we all know we need to drink water, so we do it. And so it's a little easier, I think, to implement physical disciplines sometimes than it is spiritual disciplines. But I think one of the ways that I have just, you know, a lot of really simple little ways that you can integrate the Lord into your daily life, but also be more specific about your quiet time. You know, look at those margins of time when you're in waiting areas and use those wisely. You know, I had to train myself not to just pull my phone out and go to social media when I'm in a waiting room or when I'm in a, you know, car line, pickup line for school or whatever those scenarios are. I keep a little devotional book in this van door in the side. And that just helps me have a go-to where if I'm waiting for one of the kids to come out from their sports or from the school or whatever the case may be, I have a go-to and it's not pick up my phone and scroll across social media. You know, it gives me purpose to focus on a Bible verse and a devotion of quiet time rather than that. I also highly recommend one of the things that we do on rachelwojo.com is we provide a graphic each month that allows you to just simply screenshot the graphic when you're scrolling across the page and then use that as your checklist each month. You know, save it to your favorites on your photo album and use that as your checklist each month to read that passage focused on a topic. So for instance, this month we are focused on praying the Psalms, and it's every Psalm that includes a prayer is what we are focused on. So the Bible passage for each day is a portion of a Psalm or an entire Psalm possibly. And I think having those sorts of lists, I am a list person. I am someone who can follow directions, who needs just a little bit of guidance. And I think that those screenshots are a huge tool for, you know, the next level up. Let's say you feel like, well, I have 5 minutes that I could do that every day when I'm waiting, you know, for such and such. It literally takes 5 to 7 minutes. I make sure that the passages are typically under 10 verses, sometimes only 2 or 3 verses, sometimes 5 verses. And the point is not quantity. I was thinking about this earlier today. In America, especially, we tend to think that more is better. And so I think that people apply that same concept to their quiet time with God. We automatically think more is better. And that's not necessarily true. We need to be focused in our heart on the Lord. And of course, I love those times where I've been able to sit down and just soak myself in the Word. And I have the luxury of time, so I don't have to keep track of how much time I'm spending. And I can just read and pray until, you know, the Lord prompts me that my heart's at peace and I need to get up and do the next thing. But I think that that luxury is pretty rare for people. And so the way that we live our lives is by making sure that we carve out the time, you know, either in the morning, noon, evening, whatever time is best for you, but make sure we're utilizing our time well and really focusing on the quality of the time and not so much the quantity of the time. Does that help?
Yes, I love that. And, you know, I will say one of the things I was challenged with this year, I have tried to read the Bible through in a year. In the past, I was actually, I mean, when my kids were little, I tried and I didn't. I've read the Bible through, but it's been more like, you know, in 18 months to 2 years sort of a deal. But I was challenged this year because the pastor at my church was talking about, you know, now there's all of these 1 year Bibles and they give you your daily reading. And anyway, he was saying that he had started to do it. And here's what he said. He said, I've timed myself every day when I've gotten into the 1 year Bible that I have. And it has, and he said, it has not taken me more than 10 minutes every single day. It's been 10 minutes or less to read the assigned reading. And he said, and I'm not a fast reader. I'm a slow reader. And it never took me more than 10 minutes. And when he said that, I thought, okay, I can do 10 minutes. And just like what you have just described, Rachel, I have gotten myself a little bag that I keep in my car because I'm in a lot of my waiting times happen in my car. So I have a little bag that's in my car and it has a chronological 1 year Bible. And I also have a little notepad because I like to, I will say that I am the type of person that if I don't write down something that strikes me in scripture or something that I feel like God shows me, if I don't write it down, I will absolutely forget it. So I have my 1 year Bible, a notepad and a pen in a little bag that stays in my car. And that is where I go when I have my waiting times. And I, like you said, I give myself grace because oftentimes I'll do it when I'm in the pickup line for after school pickups. And there are days that I don't get in the pickup line for one reason or another. And on those days, I do not beat myself up because I didn't get it read. I don't do that. But I have it there and available for the waiting times. And so, yeah, I love that. I love the grace that is involved in it, but I love the practicality of the time that is actually there that maybe we just haven't utilized for one reason or another. And I think sometimes it can go back to, like we said at the beginning, the unrealistic expectations for a quote unquote quiet time that we're waiting on. We're like waiting on that time to fall in our laps. We're waiting on that space to just happen. And I love that you brought up seasons because something that I have learned as my kids have grown up, and so I don't have all the littles at home, but I will say that I fell into the thought process that one day I'm going to have all this time. And as I have talked, you're laughing because you know, as I have talked to women that are a few steps down the road than me, they have let me know that that will not happen. Your one day that you think is going to, like, you know, we always kind of say, well, when my kids all go to school or when my kids all graduate from high school and leave the house or when I get this degree or when I finish this job and I move, we always kind of feel like there's going to be a time where we're going to transition out of the stage of life we are in and into a new season. And in that season, all of the time that we wish we had now will have. And I haven't met a woman that has told me that yet. And I'm not saying that to be discouraging,
No, it just changes. It changes. You know, now, I mean, you leave the stage of where your children have a lot of physical hands-on requirements, but especially as they approach, you know, being preteens and teenagers, you find yourself needing to be available emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes requires more time, and it's not convenient, you know. When they're having an emotional breakdown, they never choose a convenient time. I mean, who does? So, you're absolutely right. There is just no ideal. We set the standard in our minds of what's going to be ideal, and it's life. It's life, no matter what season or stage you're in.
And I want to close with this, because you talked about at the beginning, kind of comparing our quiet time, our relationship with God, to a relationship with our spouse. And one of the things that you said made me think about, and you know, you mentioned we carve out time for our spouse because we want to be with our spouses. We love our spouses. And so my husband and I have always remained committed to a date night. That is something that at the beginning of our marriage, when we first started having our children, we really determined to commit to a weekly date night when possible, but a date night often at the very least. But that being said, I can think of date nights where we went in our sweats to IHOP and we ate, you know, and I have the fondest memories of that very simple, you know, we didn't get dressed up, we didn't go somewhere nice, but we went. I can think mm-hmm. of a date night where we had our children go somewhere else and we had pizza and a Coke at home in the living room. Like, and right. That was date night. And so right. I loved that connection because we don't have to pursue a perfect quiet time with our Jesus. We right. just come to him and he mm-hmm. meets us there. So I think more than anything, I hope this conversation has kind of freed you up to just come to Jesus. And I think sometimes when we begin, that's when we learn the rhythm that works best for us. It's not something that right. we know before right. we start a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I'm just thinking about something and circling back to this topic. I just feel like the Spirit is telling me that there's probably someone out there listening to this going, I don't even want to spend time with God because I'm so angry at him for all of the things that have happened to me in the last year. I'm tired of dealing with loss. I'm tired of dealing with, you know, depression or disease or discouragement. And they're forcing themselves to listen to this episode because they're looking for that magic bullet almost that will help them get back into their quiet time because they know they need to. They just have anger issues. And I just want to encourage you. You know, I remember one time when I, in relationship discussion and how we compared our relationship with God sort of to our relationship with our spouses and how we pursue that love. I remember, you know, when my husband comes to me in my kitchen and he wraps his arms around me, I am so excited to have him come to me in that daily moment, you know, and yeah, there's gross stuff in the sink because I need to run the garbage disposal. And, you know, there's a stink coming up from the dirty dishes, but I don't push him away because I'm so excited that he's there. And I just think that is how God wants us to see him, you know, in our everyday living, and that we can be so excited that he's there and we can be so in tune with his presence that we don't care about the dirty dishes or the stink or the toilet overflowing or any of that. It's just part of the recourse. But when we have that moment to sense his presence and to communicate with him, it makes all the difference in the world. When I was angry, sometimes held God at a distance, you know, I didn't run away from him, but I almost stiff-armed him, you know, held him out far enough to where I couldn't be close to him and hear his heartbeat. And I just want to encourage the person who's struggling right now with that quiet time and really wanting to get back into it, really wanting to feel close to the Lord and to know that his presence is near, but you're struggling because of life. Mm-hmm. Just take that first step. Take that first step. Take your arm down away from the stiffness and just whisper to the Lord right where you are that you're ready to spend time with him again, and you want him to show you how to draw close to him again and pull that relationship back towards what you know it has been in the past or what you believe it can be. Because we are his children. He is ever pursuing us. Mm-hmm. And so to pursue him in return is all that he ever wants. I think about when God came to Adam and Eve in the garden after they had sinned. And what did he say to them? His question was, where are you? And anyone who's listening today, that's still the question. He's calling for you. He's calling for us. He always wants us to be close to him. And when we open his word and when we turn our hearts towards prayer in a quiet time, that's just a first little step in opening that enormous door of relationship to being close to the God, our creator.
Amen, Rachel. Thank you so much for speaking to that. And I know that there was, if not just one, more than a few listeners who I pray God ministered to through that word. And I just pray for those of you who have listened today. We thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And I pray that you have heard even just one thing that you can take away and apply today so that today can be your best day ever. Thank you for joining us. Thank you.